Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And I've entitled the message, Restless. And if you know a little bit of background about Ecclesiastes, you got Psalms, you got Proverbs, and then you got the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is a very interesting book. It's one that you have to have a little bit of background on when you read it, because Solomon says over and over again that life is meaningless. So you have to understand the context and the perspective that he's coming from. But there's much to be gained, I believe, in reading the book of Ecclesiastes. Some great insights. Solomon was the third king of Israel. And he became king at a very young age. Okay? And he seeks the Lord. He says, God, you know, this is a huge responsibility. And so he seeks God and he says, I cannot rule this people that you've entrusted me with. And so he goes to God in prayer, and God says, I'm going to give you wisdom and I'm going to give you knowledge to be a leader, to be a king of the people of God. But he says, I'm also going to give you wisdom, and I'm also going to give you fame. I'm going to give you wealth. And God did do that. He gave Solomon a very great reign. People would come from all parts of the known world at that time just to come and hear him speak and lecture just on plant life and on all the wisdom he knew that God had entrusted to him. So it was really interesting. But when you get into the book of Ecclesiastes, you see that that there's a little bit of he's experienced life, and life hasn't delivered like he thought it was going to. Okay? And so he wrestles with that. And so that's what I've entitled the message, Restless. It says that there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What does the worker gain from his toil? I've seen the burden that God has placed on men. When he means men, he says man, meaning mankind. He has made everything beautiful in its time. And when it uses that word beautiful, it means description of maybe like a beautiful woman, okay? It is just, it's beautiful. And he has placed eternity in our hearts, in the hearts of men. That's an interesting verse. He's placed eternity in our hearts. We're going to talk more about that. Yet, we can't fathom all that God has done from beginning to end. We understand the concept of eternity, but we can't know it all. We can't always understand it all. I know that there's nothing better for men to be happy and to do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is a gift from God. I know that everything that God does will endure forever, and nothing can be added to it, and nothing can be taken from it. God does it so that men will revere him. Whatever is has already been, whatever has been will be before, and God will call the past into account. Father, we ask the blessing over your word. Pray that you take it and apply it to our hearts and to our lives. In your name we ask. Amen. Amen. Solomon says, God has a proper time for every event under heaven. And he's placed eternity in our hearts. And when he talks about that he's placed eternity in our hearts, that is one way that God has made us different from all other living things, is that we understand the concept of eternity. Okay? That life is just not from when I'm born until where I end, but we understand that there's been a past and there's also a future, and that there's also a life probably after, right? We have that instilled within us, that there's life after death. That there is a body, but there's that spirit, that soul of us that is eternal, and that will go to be with God. He's placed eternity in our hearts. Now, just looking at our text here, there's a few things I want to pull out for us this morning. In verse 11, it says that he has made everything beautiful in its time, and that Solomon says, I know there's nothing better than for men to be happy, to do good while they live, to eat, drink, and find satisfaction in the work that we do. This is a gift from God. The first thing there in your programs is to discover God's plan for your life and fulfill it. You are beautiful, and so are the plans that God has for your life. Should I say that again? You are beautiful, and so are the plans that God has for your life. And that word beauty just really talks about whether it's a beautiful sunrise or sunset, a beautiful picture. That is how God looks at your life. And sometimes we look at our life and we say, God, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't look anything beautiful. And we look at our world and we say, all we see in the news, and in the newspaper or on TV is not beautiful. But Solomon says everything has its time and its season and it's beautiful. And so God has a plan and a purpose for our life and it's beautiful. And the encouragement I have is to try not to be somebody else, but be who God has created you to be to fulfill that purpose. It'd be nice if everybody was born with instructions, wouldn't it? You know, came out, there's the instruction manual. This is how you're to raise this person, raise this child, okay? This is who they'll become. This is what they will do, right? But we don't come out that way. As parents, we have a child, and we try to do our best to raise them in the ways of the Lord, but also to help them to be who God has made them to be. Sometimes we have more help along the way than others. But what Solomon says is to find your fulfillment in what we do here on earth. And sometimes it takes us a while to find that, but a sign that we are doing the right thing is that there's a sense of fulfillment. It may be hard, it may be difficult, it may be strenuous, but in the end it's fulfilling for us. And it's something that we feel passionate about. And he says, find what you're good at. Whether it is in volunteering or whether it's your work, wherever you work, find something that you are passionate about, that you care about, and that is fulfilling for you. Is it going to be hard? Absolutely. Most work is, all right? But the key is, at the end of the day, is there some sense of fulfillment that you're doing the right thing and that you're using your gifts and talents not only to further our world but to further God's kingdom? I think about the doctors and aid workers that are going to West Africa to help with the Ebola outbreak. I don't think most of them are going because of a paycheck. Many of them are missions workers. So they're going because they got people back home supporting them. They're not going because of a paycheck. But they're going because they want to make a difference in this world. They want to help people. And they feel it is what God has called them to do. And some of them have gotten sick along the way, right? And their life has been in danger. Why would they risk their own life? Because it's something that they are passionate about and they believe in. And that is important in our life if we're going to go through life. And Solomon says, you know what? He experienced the wealth. He experienced pleasure. He says he denied himself nothing. And yet, he goes, life is meaningless until we find, hey, this is what I'm good at and this is what I enjoy doing. Find that meaning and purpose in life. Find what you enjoy, what energizes you, what offer Yeah, we offer a class that helps with that. But find what God has wired you for and gifted you. And know for sure that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And it's beautiful in its time. Secondly, enjoy the seasons of life. Now, we do have seasons in Nebraska, right? How many enjoy the four seasons in Nebraska? You like that? You know? Okay, how many spring is your favorite? Give me a show of hands. Summer? All right. Fall? Oh, wow, we got a lot of fall people, okay? I'm there. What about winter? Hey, we do have a few winter people, all right? Yeah, a little bit. You know, it's more than just the seasons that we experience here in Nebraska. We go through seasons in life, don't we? Through times that are like summer and times that are like spring, and then sometimes it's times of life that are a lot like winter, cold and distant. And we go through seasons in life. And Solomon says, you know what, there's a time and a season for everything. There's a cycle that is part of our system. Sunrise, sunset comes up each and every day. It shifts a little bit every day, right? Depends on where you live. If you go to the equator, you don't have to worry about that. All right? Pretty much the same all year round. But there's the sun, there's the moon, there's the seasons in life. There's all these cycles that make it a beautiful thing. Whether it's the seasons that we experience or just the season in life, it's all beautiful. And the process even of work, of play, of rest, it's all it is all to work together to bring meaning to our life. All right? And it doesn't bring lasting fulfillment. Okay? It doesn't. There's some pretty great things in life, but they don't bring lasting fulfillment. But they bring some sense of fulfillment, and there's nothing wrong with that. We talked about that in just the gift of work. That it was never intended to give us lasting fulfillment, but we are to get fulfillment from the work that we do. We are to get fulfillment from a beautiful sunrise or a sunset, or from a, going to the Grand Canyon and seeing the beauty that is there. I believe that God put that there for a reason and for a purpose, so we could enjoy that and go, wow. Or on a pitch dark night, you look up in the sky and you see the stars. Think God knew what he was doing when he put those there? We are to enjoy that. Enjoy all that God brings our way. And as we apply it to our life, we have these different seasons in our life. And I guess just speaking to myself, often I have been so focused on the future sometimes that I don't enjoy the present. I'm always thinking about what's going to happen next, right? You know, maybe none of you ever think about that, but I'm always, think about what's happening next instead of just enjoying the moment. And sometimes the moment can be hectic, it can be stressful, it can be very difficult. And sometimes we miss the beauty that is right before us and the season that is there. And Solomon realized, you know what? You can chase after all sorts of great things, projects, work projects. He did a lot of them. Some of the greatest wonders in the world Solomon undertook during his time. He went after a lot of things. But he said in the end, enjoy the simple things in life. Sitting down at a table with your family and your friends and enjoying a meal together. Enjoy that time. Enjoy the time you have with your family. Enjoy the seasons of life. And, you know, some days are definitely better than others, right? But I think in every day you can find something to enjoy, something to be thankful for. And instead of just focusing on the things that aren't right, focus on the things that are right and enjoy the beauty that God has placed in front of you at that moment and at that time. The Epicureans, everybody know what their philosophy was? Nobody knows what the Epicureans? Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we may die. Yes. Epicureans. Now, I wouldn't go that far. But I would say, I went to a funeral here recently where the person was supposedly had, you know, very good, invested, followed some investment advice and ended up dying with a lot of money in stocks and stuff. I don't know if he ever got to, really took time to enjoy it all. And isn't that kind of a crime? Solomon talks about that. He goes, I've seen the wealthy, and they have all this wealth, and they die, and they never get to enjoy it, and then they leave it to other people they didn't work for, and they get to enjoy it. He goes, it's not fair. It's not. Enjoy the things that God has placed before you. Solomon also says it's better to go to funerals than to a party. You think, what? Boy, Solomon's just really messed up. But you know what? At a funeral, what are you reminded of? You're reminded of the things that are important, aren't you? You know, party, you go and have a good time, but at a funeral, you're reminded of the things that are important. And what are the things that people remember? They don't remember a person's wealth. Sometimes they recognize their accomplishments, but usually it's accomplishments that they've made towards society. But they remember the relationships and how they had to have fun and how they loved different people. Those are the things that people remember and that they remember people for. And we often, going through life, we don't put enough importance on those things. But see, how do you want to be remembered? How do you want to be remembered? Put your priorities upon the things that are important. And often the things that we strive after, people are not going to remember us for. And therefore, we have to enjoy the seasons that God has given us, the beauty that He's placed right before us, whether it's friends and family, just the joy of the giftings that He's given and using our gifts and talents for His kingdom and for His glory. Enjoy the simple things that life has to offer and that God has given us. Thirdly, rest in God's eternal plan. See, and this is what kind of got to Solomon. He was brilliant, probably one of the brilliant minds, definitely at that time and maybe ever. We don't know. No way to compare it. But he was a brilliant man. But because we have eternity in our hearts, we want to understand the whole. Now, I don't think my yellow lab, you know, he sits out on our porch. I don't think he really is out there contemplating all the different philosophies and, you know, and theories out there. What's he thinking about? I want to get that squirrel that is taunting me on the other side of the fence, okay? All right? Oh, here they come. They're going to come take me for a walk. There's no indication that animals have that concept, that even that thought process that, you know what, there was something that existed before I came to this earth and that there's anything past after I die. But we do. We have a sense of that. And that's where we're created like God and not like the animals. God has placed eternity in our hearts. And because of that, we want to understand it all. We want to make sense of this world, don't we? And so because of that, we have science, right? It is our quest to understand whether it's nature, how we are made, how the universe happens. We're trying to discover and find answers because we want answers. We have a thirst for that. We have philosophy to answer the great questions in life, right? And there's a lot of great philosophers out there. You usually have to take philosophy class in college, right? But we try to wrestle with, try to make sense and answer questions that we have within our heart and our soul. Solomon was there, right? We got theology, try to answer, okay, how does God speak to the questions of life. And all these pursuits are on our part to discover and understand what God has created, the whole of life, why we exist, to make sense of the past, of the future, why there is sickness and death and injustice. Why is there evil in our world if God is love? And see, that's how we're different from the animals. Now, the positive side of this is that we understand that there is eternity. Okay? That's the positive thing. And we dream, we plan. That's the positive side. The flip side of that is that, what does it say? God has put eternity in our hearts, yet we can't fathom what God has done from beginning to end. We're left in the dark a little bit, folks. We can't understand all God's plans. We can't understand all the mysteries of God. And you will drive yourself crazy if you try to figure it all out. Solomon, that's where he was at. He goes, man, I've studied everything under the sun. And it's all meaningless. I can't figure it out. I've researched it all. We're looking for a new door, front door. You know, do we want a small window, big window? Well, if we get a big window, you don't want everybody just to be able to see into your house, you know. So we're looking for one front door that has, you know, a lot of the front doors, they have what? They have glass, but it's what? It's distorted, right? It's distorted or tinted or something. So you can get up there, light comes through, but you look at it and you can sometimes, you know, depends on the privacy rating, you can see more or less, all right? And it's that way for us. We can, God has revealed some things to us, right? We know some of the things that are going to happen, that he's coming back for his church, right? All right? We know some things, but there's some things we don't understand and he hasn't revealed to us. Some of those things he may reveal in time. There's maybe some things personally in your own life where you go to God and you say, God, this just doesn't make sense. Why this? Why that? Sometimes it has to deal with death. Sometimes it has to do with sickness. Sometimes it's just difficulties in life. We say, God, why? Sometimes God reveals it to us. A lot of times he doesn't. Sometimes he reveals it in time. And some of those questions we won't get answered until we see him on the other side. We all wrestle with the why questions. Solomon had to get to the place where he was able to rest in God's plan. That even if we don't know all the answers and know everything, that we're okay with trusting God and his wisdom and his plan. We have to come to grip with that. And there's some people that say, you know what, they leave the faith or they leave God because they don't get the answers that they want, right? And Solomon, he says the bottom line is to fear God and to trust him. And to find rest in God's plan. In conclusion, Solomon had researched everything under the sun, yet his heart was restless and he was not satisfied. Even though he had claimed to understand it all, he couldn't fully understand all of God's plans. It reminds me of a man. He's called one of the church fathers because he was in the early part of Christianity. Okay, in the day of Pentecost, Acts. In the book of Acts, we have the birth of the church. It was right around 30 A.D., okay? That is the birth of the church. The church continues to expand and grow. Augustine is born right around 354 A.D. He was born in North Africa. So Christianity had been around for a couple hundred years at that point in time. He grew up with a Christian mother. How many have heard of Augustine? Okay, greatly impacted the Catholic theology. Augustine grew up with a Christian mother, but his father didn't have any faith in God. So he had a Christian upbringing and embraced Christianity, and then he went off to college and went to Milan and studied there. And as he began to wrestle with his faith and the questions of life, he began to stray from God. He wrestled with questions, if God is love, how could there be so much evil in our world? And if God created everything, did he also create evil? So these deep philosophical questions. And people come at it from all different ways. So he had these questions that he wanted answered, and he had passions that he wanted to pursue. And he denied himself really nothing. He said he had to scratch the itching sore of lust. All right? And so he went out and he pursued temptations and things that he wanted to, you know, experience in life. He began to put a lot of importance in intelligence and philosophy, thinking that those were the answers. But while he was in Milan, he happened to be under the preaching. He would still go to church. And there was a man named Ambrose that was a very good speaker, but he was able to talk in a way intelligently enough that it made sense to Augustine. And one day, he finally committed his life back to Christ. And he would rise to a great influence within the early church just because of his ability to communicate Augustine and to make difficult things simplified so that people could understand them. Augustine, he wrote a book called Confessions, confessing all the things that he had done. I mean, he was very upfront. He didn't hold back any details. He just put it out there, all the stuff that he had did. All right? Things that he had chased after. But one of the quotes that Augustine is known for, I'm going to have the musicians come, is that he said, you know what? God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their peace in you. Our hearts are restless until they find our peace in God. And Solomon found that out. The last few verses of Ecclesiastes, Solomon says, here's the bottom line. Before your life ends, and he uses a bunch of different word pictures. He says, before the golden bowl that is attached to the ceiling by the golden thread, before that cord is cut and the bowl is destroyed, in other words, the end of life, know who God is. And he says, the bottom line is fear God and obey His commandments, for this is the whole of life. Find your place in God. Because as Solomon, you're going to be restless until you do. Like Augustine, you will. Does it mean you're going to understand everything? No, you're not. I can guarantee it. But you're resting in the one that has it all figured out. And we have to trust Him in that. And trust Him with our life. And if we get so bogged down with just all the questions of life, we lose sight of God. And He's placed eternity in our hearts. So we understand that there can be a heaven and a hell, and that there's a past and that there's a future. But also, that also brings up that we have this quest for all the answers. We want to understand it all. And God's revealed what He can. Some of it will be on the other side. Pursue all that you can. But in the end, find your rest in God and His plan and His purpose for your life. Amen? I'm going to have you stand. I'm going to have Obed and, not Obed, but Victor and Yolanda. And Gary, if you could join me over here, if you would. Actually, yeah. If you have a need or a prayer request this morning, you can join us up at the front. If you're like Augustine or like Solomon and you're wrestled with some of the deep questions of life this morning, and you just want to find that peace with God and put some things at rest in your own life, and know Him as your Lord and your Savior this morning. Just that you're okay with God, that He's forgiven your sins. To know that He has a plan and a purpose for your life and that it's beautiful. It's beautiful. It doesn't always make sense to us, but it's beautiful. And it's time and season. I'm going to invite you to come and just pray with one of us. And we want to just agree with the prayer with you this morning.